Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, and we're heading towards chapter 17. Chapter 17. Brother Ezekiel is in his house as of chapter 8, and then several things that the Lord gives him. And he prophesies about, he is saying these are common words. He cried in mine ears with a loud voice. Ezekiel does know that it is the Lord speaking to him and giving him these words. We see in these chapters that he, as it says in chapter 11, he spake unto them of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had showed me. And it is a time of the captivity. It's very end. It's very near and in the time of where we're at right now, in the time of the last stand there in Judah, there in Jerusalem. Zedekiah is reigning as king, the last king of Israel as a nation, or Judah, that southern kingdom, divided from all the way time at the back to the relinquishing of the reign there by Solomon to his son Rehoboam, and then the man Jeroboam raised up by the Lord for the northern tribes. And it's right in there together, right in there at that same time. In chapter 12, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and Ezekiel is giving out. Chapter 13, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. I don't know if we're still there with Ezekiel in his house when the Lord is laying these things on his heart. We don't have anything that I recall about the changing of venue. In chapter 14, it says that certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And so Ezekiel has got their attention. The Lord has got their attention through that which he has given Ezekiel to do and to prophesy. Again, chapter 15, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Chapter 16, we see here, again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, okay? So last time, we considered about the Lord brought about the vine tree, seeming like a worthless tree, other than the Lord has provided it for firewood, okay? And he likens Israel unto that vine tree. Can't get one straight board foot out of the thing. And he said, that's what's happened to my nation. Is there only good to be burned? Boy, what a sad commentary. And then in chapter 16, that was in chapter 15, in chapter 16, he likened Israel unto a wife that was a whorish woman, that just went a whorish way, and even didn't even pursue that a harlot does for hire, but was just willing and gross in her ways and willing to take up anyone that came along. And rather than they give her gifts for that whorish way and act, she would yet give gifts to them. And God said it was his stuff, his gold, his children, his bounty, his blessing. And so then we come to chapter 17, verse number 1 of Ezekiel 17. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, and there it is again, we're considering this about brother Ezekiel and the Lord calling him, naming him son of man. No other in the scripture other than our Lord Jesus Christ referred to in such a great way and in this name, son of man. Put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel and say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came into Lebanon. Okay, you remember Lebanon's a place of the tall cedars. It was Lebanon that David got wood for the building of the temple. And that's a reputation that Lebanon has. And took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. Okay, so a prosperous place that he transplanted it to. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. Okay, a willow tree's got to have a lot of water. Okay, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. It was prosperous. Okay. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him. and shot forth her branches towards him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, but yet it turned to this second eagle, okay? That it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Okay? So we got this one eagle taking this riddle, one eagle taking a sprig, from the top of a cedar, mixed in with all the others, and brought to a good land, a fruitful land, a fruitful place, a place of prosperity, a place of traffic, a place of plenty of water. A bunch of wealth is there. And the purpose this eagle did this was that it might look to him, or to this eagle, okay? But then there was another great eagle, and what's it say? The vine did bend her roots toward him. Not the one that established it, okay? But another. And what's it say? There was another eagle, verse 7, with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters. It had no need of anything else. But it bent its roots towards this second. That it might bear fruit and it might be a goodly vine to the first. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof that it wither? It shall not wither in all the it shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, verse 10, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. So, two eagles, the first took a sprig, cared for it, set it in a good land, gave it everything it needed, caused it to prosper, put it in a place of prosperity. But there was another that came along that the sprig thought was better than the first, and it began to bend towards him. Is the first eagle going to put up with that? Again, this is a riddle. Is the first eagle going to put up with that? Having done such a great thing? Having prepared for the twig from the cedar, the highest branch, the young twigs in verse number 4, is it going to put up with that? The answer is no. I think the Lord is saying, you won't. You wouldn't do that. Nor will the Lord. Verse number 11. More of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem. He hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. So see, now the siege of Jerusalem is at hand. It's been at hand. You know, when we saw this beginning with Ezekiel to where we came in chapter 6 or so, chapter 8, it had been a year and 2 months that has transpired from the time that the Lord called Ezekiel to be a prophet to this time here of chapter 6. And so there's been a year and 2 months that the siege has been at hand. And the Lord is speaking now, I believe in the present tense. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem and hath taken the kings thereof. Ezekiel knew before word got back from Jerusalem that the king had done these things, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. And hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him and have taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty. And of course, there were those that were from Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim, that were taken captive along the way too. So that does stand. That the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors to Egypt. He said, this is what Zedekiah has done. That they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? See, Israel has sinned. And the northern tribes have been taken into captivity and they're gone. They're scattered. The southern tribes of Benjamin and Judah, they followed after it. They've watched all that Israel did, as we've seen, and haven't learned. Haven't learned at all. Nebuchadnezzar has gone in and taken a captivity over the course of the last handful of kings, three or four kings. He has set up Zedekiah as king. And the Lord has made it very clear through Ezekiel and other brethren that we're going to take a look at, that this is of the Lord. Bear it. Bear it. Don't fight against it. As it says in the book of Hebrews, that we should not faint when we're chastised by the Lord, but we're to take it and bear it, looking to our Lord. Repent and turn to Him, not buck against Him. You know, the child of God can do that. We can buck against the Lord and His chastisement. And you know what it'll bring? It'll bring destruction. It'll bring destruction upon us. And so that's what the Lord is dealing with here. Let's read in verse number 14, that the kingdom might be base. So this is the reason that that Nebuchadnezzar has done this. Verse 13, hath taken the king's seed and made a covenant with him and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land. So Nebuchadnezzar went in and he took what would those that are there that are wise and have understanding, and he's taken them home with him. He's taken some of the king's seed that remain and made a covenant with him, said, okay, you serve me, you do what I do, you be my puppet king, and everything will be fine with you. You pay the tribute that I levy against you, and don't you try to wrest up out of my hand. And that's what he told Zedekiah, the last king. And he left them in a shape to where they wouldn't be able to raise up, okay? That the kingdom might be base, verse 14, it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. So he makes a covenant with that king, with Zedekiah, and said, you stay there. Verse 15, the Lord says, but he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt. But rather than just staying there and being obedient to Nebuchadnezzar, which the Lord made clear was the judgment of the Lord, so bear it. The punishment of the Lord for what they had done as a nation, Zedekiah sends up ambassadors down to Egypt and said, give us some help down here. We'll look to hire you. Come up to help us against this man that has us in captivity. And so he sent ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses and much people, an army. As the Lord asked about this sprig that grew up and the second eagle that's at hand, he asks this, shall he prosper? No, he will not prosper. Because why? It's been by the decree of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar has the children of Israel in captivity. Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord, verse number 16, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that he made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even him, even with him in the midst of Babylon, shall he die. I want to take some time to read over here in 2 Kings chapter 24. Turn over here. Hold your place here in Ezekiel. We'll come back to this. 2 Kings chapter 24. And let's read here. I think we've touched on this before, but let's read it here. Chapter 24, 2 Kings. Let's pick it up in verse number 17. And we'll see here what's being dealt with. And 2 Kings 24, verse number 17. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead. Okay? and changed his name to Zedekiah, last king in Israel. But Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Haymutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. See, Zedekiah rebelling against the king of Babylon was the same thing as him rebelling against the Lord. Because the Lord made very clear, this is not your enemy, if you will, by chance that has come upon you. But this is my minister to inflict this chastisement upon you as a nation. It came to pass in the ninth year, it goes on in chapter 25, in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what the Lord told Ezekiel to do and represent before the captivity, wasn't it? You know, could it have been that when the Lord gave it to Ezekiel, it was the same time that it was going on in Jerusalem? And the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city. And there was no bread for the people of the land. We've seen about that. And of course, this was for 11 years, and we don't understand that Ezekiel's ministry has been for 11 years, but maybe it came in at the time of the end. Evidently it has. His ministry has maybe come in that last year or two of the siege. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. Verse 4, and the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. Remember how Ezekiel had stuff for removing and had his head covered up? And he took it out during the day, and he took it out during the night, and then the Lord told him, this is the way the king will go out. He wouldn't even see the ground. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, that's way to the east, over near Jordan, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. What a terrible thing. And put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Just what had been prophesied is what the Lord did. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, let's read over here. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Again, remember, Ezekiel's testimony and witness is not to the people at Jerusalem. There's another brother that the Lord's using to do that. But Ezekiel, his testimony and witness from the Lord is to those that are in captivity over in the land of Chaldea. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we pick it up in verse number 11. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Remember all that which Ezekiel's told about? How it was in the temple? How it was with those that worshiped the sun, how it was with those that the leadership and the priests of Israel that turned their back on the Lord and worshiped the sun. Remember all those things that Ezekiel's talked about? That this is just in one verse the way that's summarized. But Ezekiel was told more about how it is. And polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. And Ezekiel's one, Jeremiah's another, Isaiah's another, and so on, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people. Hear that? As long as the Lord's doing something, there's hope and there's a blessing. But when the Lord quits, it's really, really sad. It's really, really terrible. But he loves his nation. As we read in earlier chapters there in Ezekiel, he's doing what he's doing for a reason. Because he's going to deliver a remnant. Listen to this. Because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused the prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose up against his people till there was no remedy. It got to a point, it was done. The Lord was sick of it. It's over. It's over. It's over. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. Remember that? A young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age, he gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carry away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and to his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. So see, the Lord knows what he's going to do, and he knows how he's going to punish his nation, and he's using Nebuchadnezzar to do it. But he says here that Zedekiah and those that were with him didn't submit to it. Now, Ezekiel is here amongst the captivity and prophesies about what's going to happen to Zedekiah. And maybe it's right here he's given him this, because remember how the Lord says it. The vision and the prophecy isn't going to be for a long time anymore. The Lord's going to say it, and then he's going to do it. And so this may be quicker than the evening news. These things could well have been going on as Ezekiel got them. He was telling what was going on in Babylon before the word even got back. The timing is near or close to that. But let's look over here at what the Lord had given Brother Jeremiah, and his calling is really something. I indeed think he bore a lot of shame. But I believe that Ezekiel bore more from what we read in the scripture. Nevertheless, our Lord gives a prophet there in the midst of Israel to these kings. And as we read there in 2 Chronicles, Zedekiah didn't submit to the word of the Lord that came by Jeremiah. Let's read a little bit about that here in chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27, let's read. In verse number 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, of the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and the king of Moab, and the king of the Amorites, the king of Tyrus, and the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which came to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemeth meet to me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. You reckon Nebuchadnezzar thought of it that way? Well, not at the beginning he didn't think about it that way, but in the end he thought about it that way, and he got it, didn't he? as I believe the Lord saved this man. But Nebuchadnezzar, a king that had come to power unlike any other that we know of, is being used of the Lord. And listen, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, make the bonds and yokes and send them to these countries. Why? The Lord's going to bring them into captivity under this one man. There's no fighting it. There's no bucking against it. And if you do, it'll do nothing but cost you. He said, "My servant and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him," verse 7, "and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." So the Lord is going to bring Babylon into judgment too. "And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord. I'll punish them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand." You want to live? Submit. You know, repentance and submission are a universal thing that stands before mankind and what mankind should do before God Almighty. And the Lord says, "This judgment, this captivity is of me. Submit to it." You wouldn't serve me? Serve this fellow for a while. Submit to it. I will deliver. But you won't serve me? Serve him for a while. If you don't, I will punish you. Therefore, and I will destroy you. Verse 9, "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets." Remember about those that Ezekiel prophesied about. "Nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein." You want to stay at home? You submit. You submit to the occupation of the king of Babylon. You want to leave your land? Then you ball up and you boil up and you fight against it, and I'll make sure you're scattered. And you won't ever come back home. I spake also to Zedekiah, verse 12, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, even to Israel. Okay? And honestly, we're not really interested. They were not interested about Edom and Moab and the Amorites and Tyrus and Zidon. You know, I mean, that was low on their list. But Jeremiah also came over here and said, Zedekiah, this applies to you and our nation. I spake also to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord God has spoken against the nation that it will not serve the king of Babylon? You remember about Ezekiel speaking about that? See, the Lord was so merciful and compassionate that he took a man's life and sent it to even to those in captivity that were all stirred up and rebellious in attitude and in heart about what the Lord had done. See, they had not submitted. There were many that had not submitted. They didn't know yet that this was of the Lord and that they just needed to settle down, serve the king of Babylon, and let the Lord make the time pass and know that they were in bondage because of their sins, and don't make it any worse than it already is. And so Brother Jeremiah says as much to the king over there in Jerusalem. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets, verse 14, that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy lie unto you, verse 15, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Ezekiel, the Lord had told Ezekiel the same thing. He said, the Lord says, if I lie to a prophet, it'll be for the end of your destruction, for those that were there, that were wicked and intent on destroying the people. Also, I spake to the priests and all to this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not unto the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. They were saying, it'll all be okay. They'll bring it back. They'll bring it back. They're not bringing it back. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? Why should it be destroyed? This is the judgment of our Lord. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. Let them pray, if there be of the Lord, let them not pray that they come back, but let them intercede that these not be taken out because of the rebellion of the people. Why did Nebuchadnezzar come back? Because Zedekiah had gone down to Egypt and looked for an army and a host and support and supply and logistic to be able to help him to wrest out of the hand and the tribute of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't going to put up with it. You know why Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't put up with it? Because the Lord wasn't going to put up with it. Because this was his judgment upon the nation. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 19, concerning the pillars and concerning the sea, concerning the bases, this is speaking of that which is in the temple, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, in the house of of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord, then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Get in line with what the Lord's word and what the Lord's plan is. The Lord said, you know, what I believe that the Lord's giving our brother here is that, you know, don't believe these priests, these prophets that say they're going to bring the vessels back. But I tell you what, if they're true godly men, they see the abominations that are going on. They cry and sigh because of the wickedness that's going on. And let them get down on their knees before God and intercede that what's here doesn't get carried away. Peradventure, the Lord would be merciful, as in the days of Hezekiah, and brought a judgment regarding Hezekiah, and Hezekiah sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord was willing to be merciful for a time, wasn't he? And so Brother Jeremiah is there with the king, and we understand and know that the king didn't obey. Back in Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 16, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised. See, this is talking about the oath and the covenant between Nebuchadnezzar and what he promised Zedekiah. Said, you serve me. You don't rise up, rile up, get the people stirred up, but you rule here in this kingdom, what I've left here, and you pay tribute to me, you do what I say. Whose oath he despised. He despised the oath that we read that Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, you swear by your God. You know, and Zedekiah swearing by God Almighty, he should have kept it. So there's even that he multiplied into himself. But he was a liar, wasn't he? Whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break, even with him in the midst of Babylon shall he die. He's going. Why? Because he wouldn't yield to what the Lord said. Verse 17, neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him and make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant. When lo, he hath given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Egypt won't be able to help him. Doesn't matter what Egypt brings up here, it just isn't going to matter. And I think historically, because of kind of like that, Egypt kind of be like a gnat and a fly. If my memory serves me right, historically, Nebuchadnezzar went on down to Egypt too. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. Repent. Submit. And Zedekiah would not. The people would not. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for this trespass that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his band shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. When it comes to pass, it'll be known that it's of the Lord. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, I will take of the highest branch of the cedar. Thus saith the Lord God, I will take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it and will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. And in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and have exalted the low tree and have dried up the green tree and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. You know, with the judgment of the Lord, the rebellion and disobedience of man, with our Lord, there's always help and there's hope. You know, the Lord gives this riddle to our brother to give unto the children of Israel there in the captivity. And he said, why would the first eagle that went and got the twig and planted it and caused it to prosper and brought it to a good land and all that, and then it begins to turn to the second eagle and want to live for the second eagle, will the first eagle put up with it? No way. Nor will our Lord put up with the rebellion and disobedience of his nation. But you know what? Our Lord is all about life. He will plant a twig, and he will cause her to flourish, and he will bring her up to be mighty. He will make her eminent there in Israel. He will cause her to bear fruit unto him and be a goodly cedar, as he says here. And you know what? Every other tree will know it. The nations will know it, won't they? The people of the world will know it, that the Lord has set his love upon his nation. And it'll be known that the Lord has taken the little old tree that all of the world thought would never amount to nothing and caused her to be his tree and of excellent estate to his honor and his glory. He's spoken it. And you know what? He's doing it. We'll go ahead and stop here for now. And may our Lord help us to see the application of these things to our lives. You know, when the Lord chastises us, we don't need to buck against it. We need to take it. We need to rest in our Lord, as it tells us in Hebrews. So much in the book of Hebrews that talks about these things there in the end of the book, that the Lord chastens whom he loves. And no child is without chastisement. His nation will not be without chastisement. You know, but with submission to him and repentance before him, Brother John writes in his first epistle there that because of the faithfulness of our Lord, Brother Doug brought it up this morning, we who have been brought into life through repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Our Lord has bound himself that if we repent of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the crud and the nastiness of our sin, the Lord has promised he'll continue to wipe that away. We who have entered into life through repentance and faith, salvation by our Lord, continue on in life through repentance and faith, submission to our Lord. When he chastises us, says in Hebrews, don't let the knees be feeble and weak. Don't faint, but take it. Honor the Lord in it. Repent of our sins before the Lord, knowing that the Lord is doing so for our good. Because it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing when we get to a point where there's no remedy. Amen? And there's no remedy, as he mentioned here. And then just one other thing that I want to mention about is the Lord speaks about taking the tree and making it great. You know, it kind of lends itself to about the Lord Jesus telling about the kingdom of God, doesn't he? About the kingdom of God is likened to a mustard seed. That's the smallest of all herbs, but grows into a great tree, so much that the fowls of the air dwell in it, and it covers the earth, and there's blessing and goodness from it. Well, it speaks about that, doesn't it? It speaks about the kingdom of the Lord, speaks about his church. I think his church is that way. Now, the church is not understood by the world, the Lord's churches. But of what institution on the earth is the Lord, from the standpoint of service and worship to him, what institution is the Lord interested in greater than his churches? And he's interested in families, okay? He's instituted the family. But of organizations, so to speak, of the earth, in which is the most interested? You think the Lord's interested in IBM? He's interested in his churches. And he blesses and he causes his word to go out and his knowledge to go out through his churches, through his nation, and now in this church age through his churches. Praise be to our God for his wonderful works.